So we start with the content. The inorganic chemistry then are chemistry of compounds not organic in nature, which means that the compounds organic compounds have carbon as the backbone, the structural backbone, with hydrogen as a skeleton that sits over the outside. Our simplest molecule, methane, then really doesn't have much of a skeleton. It's only got one carbon atom. But after that, once we get to ethane and anything bigger than that, we can clearly see carbon skeleton, hydrogen over the top. Now, inorganic chemistry is then everything that's not of that nature. So we can divide it usefully then into main group chemistry, involving elements from the left-hand side, right-hand side of the periodic table, transition metal chemistry, involving those elements in the middle of the periodic table, and then sitting underneath the transition metals in a little gap is this block called the lanthanides and actinides. Now, in first year, we only ever cover main group and transition metal chemistry. The lanthanide-actinide work is done in second and third year normally. The subdivisions 1 and 2 are quite classical. We can subdivide them still further. So I worked for many years in a subdivision of transition metal chemistry called organometallic chemistry, which is then the interface between organic chemistry and inorganic chemistry, where you've got large organic groups and you bind them to metals. So they are strictly inorganic because they're not only carbon, hydrogen and elements like that. As soon as you put a metal, it strictly is inorganic. But there now are interfaces inside each of these different areas. So we're looking at a structure of beryl over here. This has been a beryllium-containing compound. We need to understand the types of bonding when we see a mineral like that that are going on inside the structure, and from that have a discussion on the physical